Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday. You're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore. The Shoe, sponsored by Benjamin Moore. I don't know why I said it that way. I was trying to be sophisticated, I guess. Maybe using sophisticated accents. It's just the same old Repco Light Home Improvement Show, so don't get all excited. Anyway, before I get into the real meat of the show, the really, really good stuff, I do have a quick thought to share. It's just something rattling around in my head this week. You know how they say that there are no dumb questions, right? We've all heard that. And we know that's not entirely true, right? You know, I encourage everybody out there. I encourage my kids, myself, ask questions. You know, it's how we grow. It's how we learn. But let's be honest, some of those questions, they're pretty boneheaded. They're pretty dumb. And maybe part of the process, the learning process, is just asking a question and then learning how to be laughed at when the question is dumb. You know, that's still good. It's good to learn. Anyway, case in point, this is what I want to get to. I was at the library the other day, minding my own business, you know, just perusing the area and looking at all the books on the shelves. And as I happened to pass the main desk, I overheard a young guy walk up, and in a very clear and very loud and public voice, he asked this question. He said, "Excuse me, but do you have a policy about people taking books, you know, into the bathroom? Because I'd really like to read this one, but I don't want to break any rules." Well, I froze mid-stride because I thought this was comedy gold waiting to happen. Waiting to happen right in front of me. I half expected some sort of library police force to rappel down from the ceiling, tackle the guy to the ground, and then pry the book from his hands. But no, that didn't happen. The librarians, they just sat there, smiled politely, and said, "We prefer that the books don't go into the bathroom with you." As if this is just a routine interaction, right? Like, this question comes up a lot. The guy blinked and nodded, you know, made sense to him. And he said, "Yeah, that is a little gross, I guess." To which the librarians responded, you know, calmly, politely, with no judgment, "Yes, quite." Well, the whole thing was really funny to me until I started looking at the shelves and shelves of books all around me. And suddenly I had one single thought going through my head. What if other people don't ask? I mean, really, any of these books could have spent time in a public restroom stall or maybe plopped down on the floor at some point in the exchange or the interaction or whatever's going on in there. I could be handling a bathroom floor book at this very moment. But I swept those thoughts from my mind. You know, one look at the librarians that told me it's very unlikely that anybody's going to sneak a book into the bathroom past those guys, those ladies. They were vigilant. They were eagle-eyed. They were the guardians of these tomes of knowledge and entertainment. But they don't go home with us. That was the next thought that went through my mind. The librarians, they stay here. Heaven only knows what these library books have seen in the homes of John and Jane Public, right? I'm not a germaphobe by any measure, but man, just thinking about what some of these library books may have experienced really made me shiver. You know, I wonder when they come back, if they're all deposited in some kind of decontamination chamber. You know, are they all bathed in UV light when they come back? Is there some sort of scanner, maybe, that will alert the staff that this book, this book has spent time in a bathroom in somebody's house? And if that's the case, is the book, you know, immediately decommissioned? At that point, is the person who brought it, you know, home, is that person deprived of library privileges for life? My goodness, what a can of worms that one simple question opened in my mind. Was it a dumb question? Was it a good question? I don't know. I don't even care anymore. It was a scary question. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. It's just my random thought for the week, and I wanted to share it with somebody. And since I work in a building all entirely by myself, there's nobody to share that with. So it gets to be you all. All right, let's get to the show. This week, what I want to talk about is something that hits a little too close to home for a lot of us. I want to talk about what happens when you pick the wrong paint color. Now, I just went through a painting project myself, and this question was front and center in my mind the entire time that I was working. You know, did I get the color right? And as I worked through the project, I was second-guessing, questioning, analyzing, and doing all of those things. And as I did that, I came across a few really helpful insights that I do want to pass along. These things kept me sane in the process, and I'm certain they're going to help you. Because really, there is nothing that I'm aware of that's more frustrating in a paint project than pouring all of your time and effort into painting that room. You know, you move all the furniture out, you tape off the trim, you cut in around everything, you roll the paint on, then you put the room, you put it back together, you know, get all the furniture back in place, and then you take that step back, right? We all do that, and we soak it all in, and we're hoping to have this wow moment, but sometimes we do that and this horror starts to set in. You know, we hate it, or we think we hate it. You know, we got all that time lost, all that money gone, all that energy wasted. It's frustrating. It's expensive. And maybe most importantly, it happens. You know, it happens way too much. So let's talk about what to do if you find yourself in that situation. But before we deal with fixing it, let's talk about avoiding the problem in the first place. That's the best way to go anyway, right? So let's avoid the problem. And I've got just a few ideas to think about, or things that will help you. For starters, don't assume that a color that you loved in somebody else's home, or even in a different room in your own home, don't assume that that color is going to work in the room that you're getting ready to paint. All right, our homes are all different, and even room to room in your own home, the lighting isn't the same. On top of that, the woodwork is sometimes different. Furniture is usually different. The art on the walls is different, and all of those differences can have a dramatic effect on your perception of a color. For example, my daughter's room is a wonderful pale yellow. It's a soft color that looks absolutely great in her west-facing room. I really, really like it in there. And as we were painting it in there, I thought I realized that I found the perfect color for my formal living room. When it was time to paint that living room, I grabbed some of the leftover paint and tried it on one single wall. And I was stunned to see the difference. My east-facing living room made that soft, buttery, warm yellow look almost like a highlighter. You know, it had a neon greenish kind of an undertone that I couldn't unsee. Even though I work with color on a daily basis, I was still surprised to find out how different that color looked between the two different rooms. So my first tip, again, don't assume that since a color worked in another room or somebody else's home, that it's going to be perfect and wonderful in your space. That's the first tip. Second tip is related, and I'm sure you've already clued into it because you're a smart audience. Sample the color every single time. You know, if you have paint that you believe is going to be the perfect color, like I did, roll some on before you order boatloads, you know, large amounts of it. Don't order large amounts of it until you've sampled a little bit. You know, if you're working with color chips or computer renditions of a color, make sure you actually get your hands on some of the paint. So narrow down your choices until you've got one or two front runners. And then once you've got it to that point, buy one or two Benjamin Moore color samples. They're right around $6, something like that. And they'll give you enough actual paint to roll the color onto a foam board or even onto your wall. Do that and then check that color out in different lighting situations. Check the color out for a while in natural light versus artificial light, in the morning time versus evening, and so on. Check it out near your furniture, your flooring, your trim, all of that. And when you do this sampling, make sure you're using at least two coats, especially over another color, you know, just to make sure that what you're seeing and what you're sampling and what you're, you know, assessing, make sure that that's actually the true color. And finally, remember that color is contextual. Now, what I mean by that is that the other colors that surround your color can influence its appearance. This plays out when you roll a new color onto a wall that's already painted with a different color. For example, we had that lighter yellow, that yellow from my daughter's room, rolled onto one wall in the home. You know, it's the yellow that I didn't like, the neon green yellow. So I chose a new color, a darker yellow, and then I painted like a 2x2, you know, a 2-foot by 2-foot section on my wall right over that first yellow. I looked at it, and I thought it was too dark. It was just too much. It was crazy. But then I wondered if that lighter yellow that it was painted on was throwing off my perception. So visually, I blocked out the lighter yellow and then found a way, you know, to view just the new color against the woodwork. And all of a sudden, that too dark, too bold feeling went away, you know, right away, went away. The other color, that lighter yellow, was changing my perception of that new color. So all that to say, before you decide that the new color that you sampled is wrong, try to view it apart from any other color that's surrounding it. And similarly, you know, right along these lines, which is exactly what similarly means. I didn't need to say both of those things. Similarly, don't sample multiple colors next to each other. Not only do other colors influence how a color appears, but our eyes also do some interesting things with color. We tend to think that when we see a color, we're measuring that color, but actually it's less about measuring and more about averaging. So when we see two or more colors that are very close to each other, we're not seeing color accurately on either one of those. We're seeing an average of the colors. So keep your color samples far enough apart that that doesn't happen. Okay, so sample your colors. That's my main point there. Next tip I've got is this. Trust your gut. When I painted that first yellow onto the wall, the neon green, you know, highlighter yellow, just to sample it, my first thought when I did that was that it was too greenish. You know, something was off. I was bummed about it because I thought it was going to be the right color. And I wasn't big on starting the search over. And so I sat with it for about a week or two, you know, hoping that it would get better. And in some lights, at some times of day, I kind of liked it. And I found myself really, really trying to convince myself that it was good. This is the one, Dan. Go for it. Jump in. You're going to like it. Right? I really tried to make myself like it. I asked the kids what they thought, and they liked it. And so I started to tell myself that I was just being too fussy, too finicky, that I was overthinking it. But there was this nagging idea that it was just the wrong color. You know that feeling when you're in it, when you're having that feeling. You know what I'm talking about. Do not disregard that feeling and plow ahead with a full paint job. No matter how frustrating it is to go back to the drawing board, you know, and start over trying to find a new color, that's frustrating, but it's way better than going through the work of painting a room and then hating the results and then still having to go back to the drawing board, find a new color and all of that. So if you have misgivings about a color, you know, a sample that you put on the wall, make a switch or at least take a little longer to debate whether this is the right color. Your gut isn't usually wrong on these things, so listen to it. All right, those are some things that you can do to help you avoid picking the wrong color in the first place. But what if you do that, or maybe you skip those things, and who knows? But let's say you painted a room, and now you're standing there looking at it, and you're thinking, oh no, I don't think this is very good. If that's your situation, what do you do? Well, we're going to get to that next. Stay tuned. We're back. You're listening to the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore, and we're working our way through an episode all about the wrong color. You know, we've either been there, or we've known somebody who has, or we can easily imagine, you know, the scenario. In fact, I'm just emerging from that exact scenario right now. You know, it's all going down in that room that I was just talking about, that living room with the yellows. In this instance, I sampled the color, I found what I thought was the right yellow, and then I painted the entire room with two coats of that color. And when I stepped back, you know, when it was all done, surveyed my handiwork, I looked at it and I thought, what chaos have I wrought? What have I done? Now, to be fair, I didn't hate the color, but I sure wasn't like, boy, I love this. I was all over the place. I was nervous. I was concerned. I was frustrated. Let me tell you, if you haven't been there, it's a punch in the gut. I've got 2 gallons of paint that I spent money on, and I don't like to spend money on anything. I've got tools that I've used up. More than all of that, I've got time that my kid and I spent doing this. Rolling the walls, that was nothing. But cutting in, you know, doing all of that, you know, cutting in around the baseboard and along the ceiling, around the windows, that took a lot of time and a lot of care. And to think about doing all of that again with another color was disheartening, to say the least. Now, last segment, we talked about some practical things that you can do to give yourself the best chance possible to stay out of the scenario. But as I'm living proof, there are still no guarantees. You can do everything right and still find that that new color that you chose makes you scratch your head and wonder. Now, in this segment and the next one, we're going to focus on how you can navigate this exact scenario that I just described. I've got 6 questions that you can ask yourself before you jump ship and run to the paint store, to Repcolite, to buy new paint. You know, before you do that, ask yourself these 6 questions. And of course, you've got to answer the questions too. Just asking them, these are not rhetorical. This is not something for you to just ask, and it's something that you've got to answer. All right, so the first question is this. Is this the wrong color, or am I seeing the previous color through the new color? Now, this can be really misleading. Some colors hide better than other colors. That is, they cover the existing color better. The yellow that I was working with, for example, it did not hide very well. It definitely needed two coats for full coverage. When I got my first coat applied over the original beige on the walls, that yellow looked really, really funky. A second coat completely hid the beige, and I was finally able to see the true color, you know, for what it was. I know that applying a second coat seems kind of nuts if you're thinking that you hated that first color, but really, you've got to look at that closely because you probably are not seeing, you know, your new color yet. You're seeing just some kind of amalgamation. It's a blending of the old color and the new color, and it can be really funky. You've got to get that second coat on there so that you're assessing the true color that you chose. If you switch right now and go get new paint, it could take you off in the wrong direction. So make sure you're seeing a good sample of the new color. That's the first question. Second question is this: is it the wrong color, or is the chaos of the room making it look that way? And what I'm getting at here is this: there's no way to truly see how a color looks in a space if the space is completely torn up and filled with all the trappings of the paint job. You know, when I finished my second coat, I was looking at the walls and taking it all in. But there was no way to judge that color accurately until the drop cloths were picked up, the window treatments put back in place, the furniture brought back in, and the art hung back up. I had to make it a room again, really, before I could see what that color was going to look like. And the same is true for you. And I get it. It's really tempting in certain instances to want to strike while the iron's hot, so to speak. You know, the room's torn apart. I'm in my painting clothes. I don't like the color and I'm in a panic. You guys have to do you. But really, when you think about it, jumping into panic-induced action and rushing out and getting new paint at that point, or adjusting your color or whatever you end up doing just so you can keep painting, is not the best step. I'd encourage you to put the room back together, give it some time, and just let it cook. Now, for one thing, once it's back together, you may find that you like the color. For another thing, and this is really important, so don't miss this, successful painting is just as much about mindset as it is about skill and technique. If you're frustrated, if you're stressed, if you're tired of it, sick of it, all of those things, whatever, that is not the time to start applying another coat of paint. It's not the time to rush out to the paint store and pick a new color. You know, when you're in that mindset, you're going to cut corners. You're going to make bad decisions. You're going to do sloppier work. You just want to be finished. And that's not the path to a great paint finish. So my general advice would be this: get that second coat of paint on. And even if you're unsure, put that room back together. Deal with that next coat of paint on another weekend, another evening, sometime when you're fresh and ready to tackle it. All right, the third question that I've got is this one: is my color wrong, or is it maybe the lighting that's the problem? Now, we talk about it on the show all the time, but lighting can dramatically change the way a paint color looks. Cool LED bulbs, for example, those with a bluish, you know, kind of a bluish tint to them, they can make warm beige colors look drab, a little bit gray, a little bit dreary. On the flip side, warm incandescent style bulbs, they can make cool blues look muddy or greens look a little bit funky. So before you run out to repaint and get new color and all of that, take a moment to consider your lighting. What kind of bulbs do you have in the room? Are they LED, CFL, halogen, incandescent? And what's the temperature rating of them? You know, check that Kelvin rating on the box if you've got the box. Try swapping out a few bulbs and just see how that impacts the space and the color. The bottom line is this: paint and light are kind of like partners in all of this. Don't judge one without at least considering the other. Sometimes, I mean, this is wonderful when it happens. Sometimes a $10 change in light bulbs is all it takes to turn a bad color into something that you really do love. So keep that in mind. Ask that question. And, of course, answer it. Okay, that's three of my six questions. We're going to take a break, and we're going to get to the other three questions on the other side. Stick around. And we're back. You're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore. And we're working our way through six questions you should ask yourself if you finished painting a room and you're standing there wondering if you picked the wrong color. We made it through the first three questions. Let's keep going. Question four is this: is it the wrong color, or am I just struggling with change? This one's big, and it gets overlooked all the time. You know, if you've made a big shift in color, or if you're replacing a color that's been on the walls for years and years and years, your brain, your poor little brain, is going to need time to adjust, right? And the older you are, the longer your brain is going to need to adjust. Don't underestimate the reality of the psychology of change. here just briefly is why we struggle. You know, pop psych, Saturday morning stuff. Here's why we struggle with change. We're wired, first off, to find comfort in familiarity. I would sure love to be able to just say the word the way I see it or the way I see it in my mind. Familiarity. We find comfort in things that are familiar to us. I'm so sorry. I so hoped to make that intelligent and smooth, and I completely flubbed it up. We're wired to find comfort in things that are familiar to us. Change, especially sudden or, you know, uncertain things, they can feel like a threat to that stability. So that's one thing that's playing out, even with a color change. Another thing, and I think this one is really interesting, we feel loss more deeply than we feel gain. All right, we feel loss more deeply than we feel gain. So changing something, like the color of the room, let's just stick with that, that can feel like the loss of the atmosphere that the room previously had, more than it feels like the gaining of a new atmosphere. Also, the color, if it's not exactly producing the effect that we anticipated, we can feel the loss of our expectations or of our vision more than we feel the opportunity to find a new vision. More on that in a minute. We're going to get to that in its own question down the road, and it's a good one. So don't bail on me early, all right? Another reason we really struggle with change is that we fear regret, right? You know, we're asking ourselves constantly, what if I made the wrong decision? What if I hate this in a month? What if this color drives me crazy down the road? Well, that fear can make us doubt even a great color choice. You know, it's playing in our mind. It's part of being human. Last thing, even small changes can shake our sense of identity or control. You know, the way a room looks and feels is kind of a big part of how we experience our home, probably one of the biggest parts of how we experience our home. And if that changes too quickly or too drastically, it can feel or lead us to feel, you know, a little bit unsettled. All right. So as we mentioned earlier, put the room back together. That's your way to work through this whole fear of change thing. Put the room back together and just let it cook. I've already said that phrase. The kids say it all the time to me. Let it cook, Dad. I never let things cook. You got to let things cook. And I think that just means let it sit for a while. Let it do its thing, right? Let the room sit. Get it back together and let it sit. It normally takes us a little bit of time to overcome all these natural human reactions to change. If you're really hoping, you know, to step outside your comfort zone and push the boundaries with color, and a lot of us want to do that. We want to break out of the molds that we've been in. We want to stretch a little bit. If that's you, if you're really wanting to do that, you're going to need to be prepared for how your brain wants to handle change. So give that new color some time. Give yourself some time. Take yourself off of this self-imposed, you know, timetable. We always create these timetables that this room has to be done, you know, by this day, or it's going to be done by that day, and that stresses us out. Now, sometimes we really do have timetables. People are coming to visit or whatever. But a lot of the times, they're kind of just things we've put on ourselves for no real reason other than I think we like to have deadlines and timetables. So take yourself off of that timetable if you can. Ease up, take your foot off the gas, and just relax a little bit. You might find that you love this change after you've given your brain a little bit of time to adjust. All right, that's question number four. Question number five is this one. Is it the wrong color? Is it the wrong color, or is the rest of the room wrong? Is it the wrong color, or is the rest of the room wrong, is how the adults in the room would say it. The prepubescent teens would have said it the first way that I tried to say it. Is it the wrong color, or is the rest of the room wrong? This doesn't apply in every case, and it's a little bit weird, but here's what I'm getting at. If you've got a beautiful space with furniture and art that you love, things that you're keeping, and the wall color isn't working, then yeah, you probably have the wrong color. You're going to need to change that color. That's obvious. But often, we paint a room knowing full well that we're not fans of the furniture or the decor in that room. That's where I'm at right now. I've got that living room that I've been talking about, that yellow living room. And when I put the room back together, you know, it looked better, but my gut reaction was, you know, I'm still not sure that this color's working. You know, so I'm letting it sit, I'm letting it cook and all of those things. But as I sit with it, the more I'm realizing that I don't think it's the color that's the problem, it's the couch, it's the chair. You know, these things were good-ish in their day, but their day is long past. I mean, long, long past. The chair. Let's talk about my chair. My word. I've talked about this chair before. For the true believers who listen every week to every word that drips from my mouth, I've talked about this chair before, and I'm kind of a little bit embarrassed to bring it up, but not really, because these things crack me up. My cheapness cracks me up. My decisions crack me up. My chair, my favorite chair in the whole wide world, is pleather, right? Pleather. It sounds fancy. It just means fake leather, plastic leather, fake leather. It looked like leather a long time ago, but the leather-like stuff on it, it's coming off in huge flakes all the time and everywhere. I first noticed it when I had black stuff, you know, falling out of my hair in the shower. And the minute I saw that, being being an incredibly reasonable person like I am, I assumed that these black things were lice babies. That's all I could think, lice babies. I found out later they're not called lice babies, but little baby lice. Lice. I didn't know what lice even looked like. I just remember standing in the shower thinking that I'm going to have to be dipped in some sort of pesticide vat to kill the lice babies growing rampant on my head. You know, I've never had lice. The kids never had lice. The experience was very, very, very scary, very disconcerting. It was a dark mystery that I had to try to figure out. Anyway, you can guess how relieved I was to discover that it wasn't lice at all. It was just my favorite chair falling to pieces, you know, as I would sit in it. So anyway, back to my room. When I pushed that ratty old chair back in place, it helped make that room, you know, kind of feel like a room again. There was a chair in the spot where there's supposed to be a chair, but that chair really didn't vibe, you know, with the color on the wall. Fortunately, before I could repaint everything, one of the kids said, you know, it's the furniture that blows in here. It's not the wall color. And when I started thinking about it from that point of view, I realized he was right. All of these pieces that I've got, they're already on my replace eventually list anyway. And I realized if they were gone and newer pieces were in their place, well, the wall color most likely would be fine, if not great. Now, I understand replacing your furniture and accessories. If that's not an option for you right now, then yeah, like I said earlier, you might need to adjust that wall color. All I'm saying with this question is don't toss out your vision just because it's clashing with pieces that you maybe already plan to change out. Maybe this is just the cue that you need to move those changes up the priority list. All right, last question I've got for you. Question six is this. Is it the wrong color or was your original vision wrong? This one is my favorite of all of the questions, and I love it because it encourages us to shift, you know, our perspectives, to let go of expectations, and maybe, you know, hopefully maybe discover something even better than what we had planned. Now, earlier when I was talking about change and why we resist it, I mentioned how we sometimes can see a new color, for example, and feel the loss of a vision or an expectation. You know, we see this new color, and even when the room is put back together, we realize it's just not the vision that we'd originally intended, and we feel a sense of loss and frustration over that. But what if the color itself isn't wrong? What if your original vision just wasn't the best one? What if the new color is giving you an opportunity to go in a better direction? I know it's a little bit weird to think about, but personally, some of my favorite creative achievements have come about from accidents or unexpected changes. You know, and that's not really terribly uncommon. Artists, for example, they've stumbled into new styles and new ways to express themselves entirely on accident. Authors, they've written entire novels based on random snippets of conversation that they overheard by accident in a diner or a coffee shop. How about this example? You know, this should make the case. This is from the world of film in Jaws. You know, the shark movie? Dun, 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 dun. You know the movie. In that movie, the mechanical shark kept breaking down during filming. So Steven Spielberg, the director, had to pivot, had to come up with another plan. So instead of showing the shark as he intended, he used music, point of view shots, and subtle visual cues to build suspense. And as a result, he ends up creating one of the most iconic thrillers ever made. And it happened because he had a problem, not in spite of one. So when your newly painted room feels off, it might not be a mistake. It might be an invitation to rethink your vision. And I know that still sounds a little wacky. Wacky. Nobody uses that word anymore. It sounds, I don't know. I don't have anything better. Wonky, wacky. That's the limits of my vocabulary. I know it sounds strange. Let's just say that. But it really can be true. For example, that yellow that I used in my living room. Let's go back to that living room scenario. That yellow that I ended up using that's on the walls right now, it wasn't what I expected I was going to have. My vision for that room was a soft, buttery yellow that was going to make the room feel like a sunny spring morning, you know, filled with flowers and peaceful vibes. Like if the Easter Bunny, you know, hopped through the living room on a given morning, it would just feel normal. You know, that's what I was shooting for. That was my original plan. But I'd overcorrected from the very first yellow I sampled, and I went from something that was too light to something that was much too dark, you know, too bold. And when I stood there, when I was all done, looking at the completed room, I realized that my initial vision was completely lost, and I was frustrated. But then I started thinking differently. I started thinking about what I could do with the color that I had. Now, that living room, that front living room, that formal living room, whatever you want to call it, this yellow living room has always been kind of a neutral space. You know, it's nice enough, but it's forgettable. We've got another room in the house, a family room in the back part, that's a statement room. You know, we've got a painted brick fireplace that's really cool, an eclectic mantle full of all kinds of little odds and ends, bookshelves filled with old hardcovers and unusual trinkets that we've collected over time. It's a room that feels like us. It's a ton of fun. I love that space. The front living room never had that. You know, but with the yellow on the walls now, suddenly I could see a little bit of potential here. Now, years ago, this is my favorite part of this whole segment. I hope this point comes through. Years ago, I came across this wonderfully ridiculous emerald green mid-century couch in a design magazine. Now, the idea in that article was to ground a room in neutral classic elements and then flip it with one bold statement piece. You know, in that instance, they were highlighting this ridiculous emerald green couch. And I loved it. I loved that couch. It was fun. It was unique. And it was one of those things that I saw in a magazine that I thought, man, that's cool. And it's too bad that it would never, ever work in my house. You know, my house doesn't really allow for anything fun like that. But then all of a sudden, I've got this yellow on the walls on accident. Didn't mean to do this. And as I'm looking at it, I'm realizing that for the first time in my whole time of owning this house, I actually could bring a funky emerald green couch into that space and it would work. I could do it in my house. I never noticed it because I didn't have anything bold or crazy going on. That yellow that I accidentally ended up putting on my walls opened up an entirely new vision for me. So now I've snagged some grounding furniture pieces. You know, I've got some used leather chairs that I snagged so I can replace my, you know, falling apart pleather chairs. And those new chairs, used chairs, they look wonderful. You know, great with the yellow walls. Now I'm on a hunt for that couch or something like it, something to give the room completely a new attitude. Suddenly this room has the potential to be a standout space in the home, and I'm way more excited about this new direction than I ever was about my Easter Bunny sunny spring morning original plan. So maybe what I'm getting at is that you're looking at something right now that's the wrong color. Maybe it's not so much the wrong color. Maybe it's an unexpected opportunity to reshape your vision into something way better. All right, those are some questions to ask, and maybe you'll find out that you don't have the wrong color. You just need to adjust your thinking a little bit. But sometimes you're going to ask those questions and the answer is going to be womp, 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 that you have the wrong color. When that's the case, what do you do? What are your options? Where do you go from there? We're going to get to all of that in just a minute. Stick around. And we're back. You're listening to the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore. And today's been all about talking about color, specifically talking about what to do if the color you painted is possibly the wrong color. You know, you made a mistake. Now, if you've asked yourself the questions that I posed in the last two segments, all six questions, and you're still convinced that the color's wrong, let's talk about that. What do you do at that point? What are your options? You know, what's the path forward? Well, first thing I would tell you is don't rush a decision. You know, something that I mentioned earlier in the show, I think I want to bring back up. Painting is just as much about a mindset as it is about technique. You know, if you've decided that the color that you put on the walls isn't working, you're probably going to be tempted to run back to the store, grab a different shade, a different tone, and get it all fixed right now. Get that new paint on so you can go to bed feeling like you've got that room, you know, exactly where you want it. But usually that's not the best move. The best thing you could do is probably take a breath, take a break. You know, you already made one mistake. That's fine. It happens. But don't compound it by rushing into another one. So slow down. Let yourself rest. You're going to choose better colors. You're going to paint better when you're fresh and you're thinking clearly. So first thing I'd say is just don't rush it. Slow down for a second. Now, the second thing is that sometimes we can adjust the color. You know, if you've got leftover paint, bring it in. Most of the time, there's a good chance that we can tweak the color. You know, we can make it a little bit warmer, a little bit cooler, a little bit lighter, a little bit deeper. But with that said, here's what you need to know. If you've got a full gallon, we can usually, or a full quart, a full container, we can usually adjust the color and still maintain a formula that we can repeat, you know, down the road for later gallons. That's ideal. If the can that you've got is partially full, we can still tweak that color. But if you love the result and you want more, we're going to need a wet sample in order to rematch it. We can't create a repeatable formula from a partial can alone. So keep those two things in mind. And then here's something that a lot of people don't realize. The base paint that we use to make your color, that is going to affect how much we can adjust it. Light colors, for example, are tinted in bases that contain a lot of titanium dioxide. That's the white pigment that gives them brightness and hiding power. Dark colors, they're mixed into bases that have very little or no white pigment at all. None of that titanium dioxide or very little of it. And that allows us to push those colors deep and make them rich and saturated and all of that. Because of that, it's tough to take a light color and make it much lighter. You know, it's kind of already at its limit, and just adding white colorant isn't going to really, you know, do a whole lot. It's hard to darken it dramatically as well because it's got all that white titanium dioxide already in it, and it's fighting against the colorant that we throw in. Dark colors, on the other hand, they can be lightened a bit, but they do tend to shift in tone. You know, think about lightening a deep red, and you're probably going to end up making it, you know, pushing it towards the pinks. So bottom line, small tweaks in color are very, very doable. Big shifts, they're a lot trickier. If you do have paint left over, though, and you're not happy with the color, bring it in. We'll do what we can, and we'll be honest about what your options are. Third thing to keep in mind is this. Maybe the color doesn't work in the room that you're working in, but maybe it could work somewhere else. So think about that. Maybe a bathroom, basement walls, a closet, a garage, something like that. Don't count the paint as a complete loss until you've really thought about all the spaces that you've got and, you know, maybe you could find a place for it there. Now, I know picking the wrong color really, really stinks. I've been there. You know, it's really disheartening, really frustrating. But as we wrap this up, let me leave you with a couple final thoughts. First off, if you're not changing the color dramatically, you know, the color you picked, the new color that you need in that space isn't that different. If that's the case, repainting usually isn't going to be as bad the second time. You've done the hard prep. It's going to go a lot quicker than you think it's going to. So rest in that confidence a little bit. And then the last thing I'd say is this too is going to pass. You know, right now it feels huge, this mistake. You know, wasted time, wasted money, disappointment, all of that. But really, in a few weeks or months, the moment's going to fade. You know, maybe you'll even be laughing about it someday. Maybe you won't. But the bitterness, the bite of it all is going to fade. You're going to forget how frustrated you were. You're going to move on. You know, we've all got that one project or more that we had to do twice. This one just happens to be yours. You know, so go a little easy on yourself. It will, you know, the pain will go away as time goes by. Time heals all wounds, even poor color choices. All right, at Repco Light, remember, we've got color experts in every single store. So if you are struggling with a choice, bring us your fabrics, your cushions, your artwork, whatever you're working with. Bring photos. We've got an eye for color, and we've got the experience to help you narrow everything down. All right, that's all the time we got. That's going to do it. We're going to wrap this one up. If you want to catch it again, you can find it online at repcolite.com. Whatever you do today, make sure paint's a part of it. And remember, your next project is way easier than you think. Stop by any Repcolite location and let us help. Have a great weekend, everybody, and I'll see you next week. I'm Dan Hansen. Thanks for listening.